Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. Hallelujah. You're the only one who can turn graves into gardens. Hallelujah. Thieves in the highway. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. He turns bones into armies. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butler. We are so excited for you tuning in tonight. What an awesome day to be alive. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Oh, God, he is the God of righteousness. He is the God of peace. He's the everlasting God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nisa, our banner. We thank God for he's Jehovah Rapha, healer. Hallelujah. We thank him for who he is in our lives. We bless him. We glorify him. We magnify him. We lift his name high because truly he deserves all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we lift him high. We lift him high. Hallelujah. We glorify his name. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. We are Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Welcome again. And we are Assistant Pastor of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founders, Archbishop Drew W. Smith, and we are located at 5883 Highway 165 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. But we are also the founder of Butterfields Ministries Worldwide.com. We are doing a work for God. We are partnering with Hope House in Kenya. And we thank God that the children that we're helping over there. And we thank God for everything he's doing with us. We do marriage counseling. We do grief counseling. We do mentorship. We engage our young men and young women on how to become productive citizens. Butterfields Ministries, check us out. Go to our website at boys, B-O-Y-Z, 2, G-M-E-N, men.org, boys2men.org. Go to our website, check us out. If you have any young kids that, some kids or even some adults who need some mentoring, we have been doing this for many, many years, and we have success through a school system in Georgia, Henry County and Rockdale County, and God is doing good. A lot of kids that we start out with are now graduating seniors, and I'm thanking God for where they are right now as opposed to where they started. So we thank God for just support us. Go ahead and go to our website. Give a donation when you can. Help us to go out and help these young people, because today our young people are dying. They're crying out, and they're doing it through violence, through shooting, fighting, and all this stuff, but they're just crying out for help. So help us to be able to help these young people as we go along, because they are our future. They're going to be in charge of things in not too long, so we want to make sure that we're leaving our future in good hands. Amen? So pray with us, help us out so we can really support these young people. And we thank God for what he's doing in our ministries. We thank God for everything that he's putting our hands to, that he will continue to bless us. We thank God for my wife. She's not here on us with us tonight, but she's listening in. Amen. We thank God for her. Amen. And tonight we have an awesome, awesome man of God. Oh, by the way, Light of the World, we had our picnic today, and we had a good showing, a good support there. They're outside. And guess what? It did not rain. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. It's supposed to be raining all day, but it did not even rain today. So we thank and praise God. The man of God asked us on Wednesday to pray that it don't rain, and it did not rain. So God hears, and he answers prayer. And we thank God for what we had today, and we know that God is good. We pray that we have reached somebody in the community that let them know that Jesus lives, and he's the answer for the world today. Amen. So without further ado, we got this awesome man of God that's going to come before us. He's been coming with us for 11, 12 years now, and we thank God for him. Thank God for his recovery. Amen. Hope that he's doing well. We're going to bring him forward, and I'm going to ask him how he wants me to play this song for him. Good evening, Pastor Phil. How are you doing?
I am so blessed, Pastor Butterfield. How are you?
Good, good. How's the recovery come?
Slow but sure. I had a total knee replacement 10 days ago now, and I'm moving around still with the walker, trying to graduate to the cane, but that's not meant to be right away. I'm going to stick with the walker and go in God's timing there, but moving right along and always excited to see what God has for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you want to play that song now or you want to play it later?
Well, let's go ahead and play it now.
Okay. And I'm trying something new because I couldn't download it like I wanted to. So let me know if you can hear it good, okay?
Okay. This song is basically going to be the title of the message to you tonight.
Okay.
The title is, What Are You Willing to Waste for Jesus? And as
wow.
you listen to the words to this song, just you can get an idea of where we're going. But what are you willing to waste for Jesus? Pastor Butterfield?
Wow. Yes, sir.
Driven by love for her Lord. Broken and feel that.
I cannot listen to that song without getting emotional. The words of that song are just something that's very gripping. It gets a hold of your heart. Not only is it an example of what our text is going to be in Matthew chapter 26, but it tells of the love of our Savior so great that he himself was broken and spilled out for us. What an incredible thought that is right there in and of itself. What an incredible thing to think that the creator of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, would break himself and spill himself out and waste himself for us. So, again, the title of the message tonight is, What Are You Willing to Waste for Jesus? Yeah. Go with me to Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 6, and I'm reading out of the King James tonight. Whew, if I can see, I've still got tears streaming down my face because of that song. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had an indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? You see, I'm going to stop right there. Even the disciples asked Jesus, Well, she just poured this out on you. Why in the world would she waste this? Verse 9, it says, But for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. You know that last verse there, verse 13. If Jesus thought it was such a waste what this woman did, why did he say it was going to be a memorial for her wheresoever the gospel is preached? As long as there's a human being on the face of this earth, as long as there are Bibles distributed, as long as there is somebody preaching the gospel, this is going to be a memorial to what this woman did. Although his disciples said, why did she do this waste? You've got to realize what this woman did was show one of the most extreme examples of love for her Savior that anybody on the face of the earth could do. She poured out an ointment, and the disciples knew this, and this was where their manner of thinking was. She poured out an ointment that was worth 300 denarii, which at that time would have been a 1 year's salary. So for the disciples to see that, they're thinking how many people that could have fed, how much that work that could have been done for the work of the Lord and for the work of the kingdom. But they were looking beyond that. They were just seeing the value of the essence itself, of the oil itself. They didn't take into consideration. This woman knew well what that was worth. This woman knew too well what that she was saving in that alabaster box, how much value it had. but she poured it onto someone that had even a greater meaning to her. She took her most valuable essence and poured it out on Jesus. What are you willing to waste for Jesus? He doesn't care about our things. He wants to know how much we care about him, how much we love him. I mean, you go to the example of in John chapter 21, verse 5, I believe it is, where Jesus begins to ask Peter, do you love me? And Peter, he emphatically says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. So Peter was being tested to see if his love was genuine, as this woman here had. Nobody has shown Jesus this kind of love because he said it was going to be a memorial for her. Where else, anywhere else in the Bible that you could find that Jesus made a memorial of someone else, of something that they did, please show it to me because I have not been able to find it. What are you willing to waste for Jesus? What do you have that is so valuable that you wouldn't give it up to follow Jesus Christ? What do you have that you want to hold on to so tightly that it could prevent you from walking one single day with Jesus?
Wow.
My goodness. In verse 7, during the week, Jesus was apparently spending the nights with friends in Bethany, and the town was 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the ridge of Mount of Olives. And on one of these days, he was at the home of Simon the leper, just as we see in our text. Simon must have been one of the hundreds of people whom Jesus had healed during his ministry. Reclining or sitting on cushions on the floor was the posture for people used in dining back then. As Jesus rested in this home, an unnamed woman, now some credit this to being Mary, but in our text it is an unnamed woman. She came to him with a valuable gift of this perfume, and in an act of extravagant worship, she poured it on his head. This anointing was an appropriate way to honor Jesus. It was often done for special guests or rabbinical figures. The anointing oil used on Jesus was as valuable as a year's wages, just like I said. So can you imagine today someone taking something that is worth a year's wages? And now, you know, most people don't have the eight-figure jobs that a lot of people have, but there are people that are making a decent living. We're called middle, lower class, but we're still making a good living per year. Can you imagine someone in today's world walking up and recognizing Jesus and taking the most valuable thing they have and pouring it out over him and not saying a word? Just weeping bitterly because of the love that they feel for him. As that song said, it started out, one day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out of valuable essence. And then at towards the ending of the song, it says, Lord, you were God's only treasure, his one and his own special son. And he was broken and spilled out for us. The love that Jesus shows us, folks, the love that Jesus shows to me, the sinner, Pastor Butterfield, the sinner, Mary Fair, the sinner, to everybody on the face of this earth, outdoes everything in this world that everybody can do. This woman has a memorial of her.
Wow.
Because she gave away. She wasted a year's salary thinking of the love that she had for her Lord. Let me ask this question. Not only what are you willing to waste for the Lord, but is the Lord in your sight more valuable than any essence that you have? Is what Jesus did for us more valuable to you than anything you own? Anything that you will earn for the next fiscal year? Is there any way, shape, and form that anything you will ever own will be more valuable than what Jesus did for us. Let me tell you, folks, when he was broken and spilled out for us, he showed his love for us in a way we can only fathom. We can only dream about in our wildest dreams that someone would love us that much. As much as we break his heart, as much as we fall away, as much as we do not honor his word in our lives, and yet he was broken and spilled out for you and for me. What kind of picture does that paint to you in your mind tonight? This woman was willing to pour out an essence on Jesus, not thinking a thing about it, simply because he entered into that home and he was taking time to stay. The Bible says when you dine in a house, stay. And so Jesus was staying there. He could have moved on, and he didn't. And to me, the reason was because he knew this woman was going to show her extravagant love for Jesus.
Amen.
How many times have we had opportunities in our lives to show even just a little love? You know, we're not talking extreme love here. How many times have we had in our lives, how many opportunities have we had just to say, Lord, I love you? Of course, you know, we do by our tithes, by our talent, by our time. We do by what we call investing time into the kingdom. But what do we do that we really, 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 really show an extravagant love like this woman did?
Wow.
When you compare this to what Jesus did for us, to me, this is the greatest love story in the Bible outside of Jesus laying down his life for us. Because a year's wages back then, folks, that was a lot. That was a lot for her to give up. She had a family. A year's salary could have taken care of them very well, very easily. But she saw the man that she loved dearly when he walked in and sat down to meet. And she showed him. Jesus even says in verse 12, she did it for my burial. Jesus knew that this was going to happen because he knew that that oil was going to be part of the preparation for his funeral. He was on his way to be broken and spilled out for you and I. And he had the same thing happen to him. Not in the same manner. I'm not giving comparison to what she did with what Jesus did. But it's showing the same kind of love Jesus did for us. What is the most extravagant love that anybody could ever show? This woman, the only thing she had was something that she could show how much she loved Jesus. She was willing to waste everything she had. She did waste everything she had. And after Jesus said this, I can't imagine what the disciples would have said. Well, verse 14 says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and whether I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. It was right there that Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. After he witnessed this, after Jesus made this statement, this is going to be a memorial of her. Little did Judas know, or any of the other 12, because Jesus had been trying to explain it to him for quite some time. And he says it here, the poor you have with you always, but me you will not have with me always. He's trying to prepare them for his funeral. He's trying to further prepare them that he is getting ready to be broken and spilled out himself. He's trying to let them know that he loves them so much he's not going to back away from the task in front of him. He is trying to let them know, this is what I'm talking about. This is my agape love for you. as I mentioned in John 21, verse 5, where Jesus is asking Peter if he loved him. There was two kind of loves mentioned there, agapo and phileo, and Jesus was looking for that answer. He was trying to prod Peter to see how and where his love was. You know, Jesus had agape love for us, agape love for us, totally unconditional. And this woman had such a reverence for Jesus. She had and she showed a total unconditional love. Folks, what are you willing to waste for Jesus? There's not a person on the face of this earth, whether it's man, woman, or child, whether it's saved or unsaved, whether it's atheist or agnostic, there is not a single person living on the face of this earth that can't say that Jesus loved us so much that he was not broken and spilled out for us. Folks, he was. There's a video that goes with this song. That particular video just, it totally crushes me because it shows Jesus, a picture of Jesus laying on the ground, looking to his side through the crown of thorns, through the pain and suffering that he went through. It showed pictures of him along the line of the crucifixion, and it showed that he was not giving up. You could see even in this video, even though I know it's a man-made video, you could see the love in the eyes. You could feel the love in the experience of what was going forth. No matter what happened, no matter what Jesus faced, he never lost that agape love for you and I. So when you think about that, you think about Jesus being broken and spilled out for us, it kind of pales to the comparison of the question that we ask, what are we willing to waste for Jesus? Oh, my goodness. There shouldn't be anything on the face of this earth that would stop us from wanting to waste that particular thing for Jesus. It's a question that should haunt us. I mean, you really stop and you think about it. With what Jesus did for us, the sacrifices that he made for us, the bitter end that he faced, never once turning, never once questioning why. He did ask the Lord, Lama, Lama, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he gave up the ghost. But, folks, he didn't stop. And I think it's interesting in this story that we're looking at. The woman that came in with the alabaster box, you know, the women are about doing their business. The picture that you get, the women are about doing their business, fixing the meal for the men. The men are reclined back on cushions or whatever they were reclined on. This woman walks in without saying a word and breaks this alabaster box open and pours it out on Jesus. And immediately his disciples sit up and say, why? Immediately they question it. You know, it brings an interesting point there that Jesus knew exactly what she was doing without even asking, without a word being said. The disciples, which Jesus was trying to teach, and they watched and they heard and they were with him through all kind of things, they couldn't discern what this woman had in mind, what she had on her heart, that her heart was so filled with love. That it didn't matter. If she would have had more, to me, she would have broken it and spilled it out, one right after the other, right after the other. She wouldn't have taken a worry, not one bit of worry for it, but she would have done until it was gone. Because in our story, she poured it out on him. And the disciples said, why this waste? To what purpose is this waste? I hope that we are not like the disciples in this story. I hope that we don't see that Jesus was broken and spilled out for us. I hope we don't see that as a waste. I hope that there's not one person on the face of this earth that would get by and get away with thinking, God doesn't love me. God is not for me. God is not the God, as you say, Pastor Butterfield, the God that's going to bring you out. Anything that they could do, going back to a message that I had quite some time ago, you know, the message of the porches, I think of the five porches there that we have: doubt, fear, unbelief, the porch of the past, the porch of tradition. All of these things can stop us and hinder us from pouring out everything that we need to pour out to show our exceptional love, exceptional worship for Jesus Christ. You see, that song, if you didn't really listen to the words of it, I pray that you go back and you do so. And if you can look on YouTube and find the version that I found that's got the video with it. I sit here and I don't know how someone could sit and watch that and listen to the words and not just be flooded with tears. That's what happens to me every single time, because it paints the picture of what Jesus did for you and I.
Yes.
It paints the picture of what he was willing to endure to be broken and spilled out for you and I. It paints the picture of this plain village woman as a representative of you and I, of what we should be willing to do, to break and pour ourselves out and pour ourselves out at the feet of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. That... It's a good thing I'm not president, because I would say that song would have to be our national anthem, so everyone would know the love of Jesus and what he did for us. thinking of that, thinking of the power of the actions that was taken by this woman, for Jesus to set up and take note of that, to immediately defend her. Why trouble this woman? Why are you bothering this woman? What's she doing? What'd she do wrong?
Wow.
Jesus, in the last verses we see, you know, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. He's basically castigating the disciples for coming after the woman for the waste. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there also shall this that woman has done be told for a memorial of her.
My goodness.
You see, how in the world can you have Jesus make a memorial out of somebody and not pay attention to it? How in the world can you have the creator of the universe declare in writing, in his word, he's making a memorial out of something that someone did simply because it was the greatest expression of worship that was ever shown? Folks, what are you willing to waste for Jesus?
Wow.
What are you willing to pour out for Jesus? Let me tell you, everything that you've got couldn't even compare. If it was a year's valued as a year's wages now, you can imagine what that would be worth in today's market. Verses 8 through 9. Jesus had taught about caring for the poor. Thus, the disciples' indignant reaction to this woman's waste of resources that could have been benefited the poor was understandable, but their error lay in lack of appreciation for who was in their midst. Jesus was the King, the Messiah, and he alone deserved such extravagant worship. Even the disciples didn't get a hold of that. Now, you know, they walk with Jesus. They talk with him. They ate with him. They slept with him. They saw the miracles that he did. And even they didn't recognize who they were in the room with. It took a totally unknown woman. Folks, are you willing to be that unknown person? Are you willing to be that one that shows such an extravagant form of worship for your Lord and for what he's done for you? Are you willing to be known as the one that was broken and spilled out for Jesus? Wouldn't that be something so awesome to be known by? Wouldn't that be something, you know, not that we're looking for a claim to a proclaim to fame, but wouldn't that be something that would be awesome to know, that you showed such extreme worship that Jesus himself made a memorial for you? I don't know what that does for you, but that kind of rattles my cage a little bit. I can't even fathom that and something like that happening. So in 10 through 13, the disciples apparently scolded the woman, and Jesus told them, leave her alone. Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. Such an act of worship would have been inappropriate with others, but not in the case of Jesus, God's Son. Jesus referred to the short time of his stay on earth. The Messiah should have been the guest of honor there, welcomed and respected not only by Israel, but by the entire world. He had been on earth but just a few short years, and he would die in just a matter of days. There would be always the opportunity to minister to the poor, but the opportunities to minister to the Messiah, to Jesus in the flesh, were limited. Timing is always an issue in spending of the kingdom resources. What are you willing to waste for Jesus? I tell you what, this could be, get somebody excited. If this don't ring your bell, your copper must be broke. When a body was prepared for burial, it was wrapped in layers of cloth and spices and perfumes sprinkled between the layers. Jesus claimed that this woman's anointing was to prepare him for burial. Figuratively speaking, Jesus used every opportunity to teach his people. Do you think this was a teachable moment right here, what they're going through and what they did, what this woman did? Oh, solemnly affirming his words, will I tell you the truth? Jesus promised that this humble woman's loving gift would become world renowned. The story of her act of worship would be taught along the gospel throughout the world in memory of her. Imagine a story from your life, translating into every language that's ever been taught, a part of scripture throughout centuries. This woman had honored Jesus, and he returned to her. Such is the blessing of the Messiah upon those who worship him from a true heart. What honor and blessings await you as you begin to give extravagantly of yourself to the King. Compare this gain with what you lose by withholding yourself. Let me tell you, we serve a generous God. We serve a generous God, and he seeks generous worshipers. What are you willing to pour out and waste for Jesus? I bet you think that that's a strange question, but with our text here and with the song, the words of that song, it comes pretty clear. Are we giving extravagant worship to our King? Is it something that we have to do that has to be so structured? Can we not just worship God? You know, what would happen if we're walking down the street and we just break out in a David's dance, not stripping out of our clothes, but we'd break out and dance like David danced? They would probably send the little paddy wagon with the padded sides and the straitjacket after you in today's world. But what would happen, folks, if something like that happened? If you were just walking down the street and God hit you to give him the most extravagant worship you could give him right there on the spot, what do you think would happen in those instances? I can picture it in my mind. People being healed. I can picture, you know, things being restored that were lost. If somebody had the guts to break out and give such extravagant worship as this woman did. She's got a worldwide memorial for her. She didn't do that to get any acclaims. She didn't do that to get any acknowledgement. She didn't do that because she was wanting to receive something. She did that to show her love. Even the disciples didn't recognize who they had in the room with them. It took this completely unnamed woman that was willing to just walk up, not say a word, and break the most valuable essence that she had and pour it on Jesus to get the attention of the disciples. You know, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall that day after really? Jesus got through talking to them, and to see the look on their faces, to hear the comments that they made. Boy, you know, he said that there's going to be a memorial for her for all times, wherever this word goes. He wasn't joking. You know, can you, your mind kind of goes crazy when you start thinking about what would they have said afterwards. Here they are, his chosen, that's been with him this time.
Wow.
What do you think was on their minds? What do you think they were feeling? And this woman, it never shows that she uttered a single word, even after Jesus told what was going to happen and what was going to be done. She's not mentioned again. It doesn't say.
Wow.
She came, she broke the alabaster box, she poured it on Jesus, and it's like she just disappeared. So with our extreme worship, why is it sometimes? Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking worship services in churches. Some of them are so awesome, you can't get up off your knees for days afterwards because you felt the presence of God so strong. But what stops us from breaking out into extreme worship? Something such as this woman did, just simply because we love the Lord. Not for any other reason, not seeking anything, not asking for anything, just because we love the Lord. I want to be at that part. Let me tell you, no invitation needed. I want to be at that party. I want to be at that coming out. I want to be and see and hear and taste the power of the Holy Ghost at that party.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Broken and spilled out. Folks, when you stop and you think about it, what are you willing to waste for Jesus? I hope that question now is starting to make more sense to you. I hope now that that question is starting to kind of pull at your heartstrings just a little bit. Because we have a Savior that is alive and well today, because he was broken and spilled out for you, for me, for all mankind. We are able to share the gospel through multimedia, through the church services, through revivals. We're able to do this with the freedom of those that have gone before us, not just as the soldiers of the cross, but you can go to the military grave sites, and you can see over 400,000 reasons why we have this freedom that we have, that we can share the gospel as we do.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we not share it to the fullest? Why do we not show that we're not ashamed to be broken and spilled out for Jesus?
Wow.
Why is it that we have so much trouble worrying about what somebody's going to say about us?
Lord Jesus,
when the Lord moves on us and tells us to do something, why is it that we have such a hard time even thinking, you know, and I'm, before this song, I'm sure no one thought about being broken and spilled out for Jesus. But have you ever thought about yourself being wasted for Jesus? Have you ever thought that that ability, that capability is right there in your own hand? It's right there in your own heart. Are you willing to be wasted for Jesus? Pastor Butterfield, that's where I'm going to leave that right there. are you willing to be wasted for Jesus?
Oh, my God, what a word. Oh, my God, what are you willing to waste and pour out? Because I'm telling you, this is an awesome word. I mean, I have chills all over right now. And, you know, I thought about the man who found the field. He found the field, and he realized what he had found. He went and sold everything he had. Amen. Because he wanted to just have, when you find Jesus, when you find him, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If he becomes the center of everything we do, nothing else matters. Everything begins and ends with him. And so that's the place we need to be, to make sure that we have him in the center of our heart. We have him in the center of everything we do. I'm telling you, what an awesome word. This nice man of God, this is powerful. What would you give? And I heard that song, man, I saw that video. Oh, my God, I'm telling you. It ministers to you to see what Jesus actually went through for us. And we have the right now, if we believe and trust him, we have the right to come to become God's son. Oh, my God. He poured out himself so we can be filled. And I thank God that now we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We got to pour out our adoration to him. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to adore him, let everybody know who he is. Because if we praise God enough, because the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people, he'll be in our presence. Hallelujah. And so what an awesome word, man. I can't hardly see or talk right now, but I thank God for this word. What are you willing to pour out for God? My. God was willing to sacrifice his own son. If Jesus was willing to sacrifice his own life for us, so what are you willing? Some of us have some pain tied. Going to church. I mean, doing simple things. Paul said, these are your reasonable service. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just the baseline. This woman went beyond that and expressed her love for God, expressed her desire, and showed up to the disciples. I mean, she showed them up where they should be the one who would want to be able to anoint Jesus and get him ready for his burial. But instead, they're thinking about carnal stuff. They think about the poor, think about all this stuff, trying to be religious. And that's where we lose out. We try to get religious and everything, but we have to get a relationship with God where he can let us know that this is the time to worship him. This is the time to adore him. This is the time to magnify his name. And I thank God for this word tonight, man. We have to be willing. And it ain't about just doing something. She was willing to do it. And you said, she didn't say a word. She just came and did what she was supposed to do. And on the other hand, you have disciples who are getting ready to betray Jesus. you have disciples who are getting ready to deny Jesus. But here comes this lady. Amen. Without nobody, they didn't say her name at this time. And she just poured out a year's salary. Man, that's mind-boggling when you think about it. But I thank God for this word today. And I don't want to go on talking, but I thank God for this night, this word. I pray that God continue to bless you, heal you, amen, and give you a speedy recovery, and everything go well, the ligaments and everything come together and do what it's supposed to do, and your body will be healed, and you'll be on your way to continue to do all the work that God has assigned to your hand. And we want you to give a last comment and pray us out.
You know, you think about this. This woman, she didn't think about it, just like you said. She wasn't coaxed to doing it. I would love to see churches the world break out in an extravagant worship to God. To see. We haven't even scratched the surface of seeing his power, Pastor Butterfield.
I believe it.
So I would love to see that. I would love to experience it. And That's my prayer as God put this word together in my heart. That's my prayer that we see that worldwide, that everybody experiences it. It'd be bigger than anything this world has ever seen to see that kind of extravagance. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do love you tonight, Father. We love you and we adore you. We just thank you for all that you do for us. Father, even though we're not worthy of your love, the kind of love that you gave, that you were broken and spilled out for us, we're not worthy of it. But, Father, you give it to us anyway. You freely give it to us. No matter how many times we stumble, no matter how many times we turn our back on you, on what your word says to us, Father, we are wrapped in this thing called human flesh. God knew that we were going to need a Savior. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. And that's why Jesus took it upon himself to be broken and spilled out for us, for every need that we have, for every desire that we have. So, Father, from this day forth, be with us throughout everything we do. Father, let those around us see extravagant worship coming from us, because we most certainly have the reason to do that. Father, that was the gift that you gave us in your Son, the eternal forgiveness that you allow us to have through him. And Father, the love, the agape love, is something that we should always cherish, that we should always desire to have in our hearts. Be with us, Father, as we are dismissed from this place, but never out of our hearts, Father. Be with us there and help us to be strong for you and for the kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. So again, we thank God for this man of God, Pastor Fair. Thank God for his life, his wife, everything that concerns him. We pray God's blessing upon you, man of God. And many, 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 many rewards to you, amen, for your faithfulness to God. We thank God tonight for this message. Hallelujah. For always being a word that it provokes us to think, provokes us to search out. And I thank God for your heart to propel us to the next level in your teaching, so we can really enjoy the benefits that God has for us in his word. And I thank God for you. I pray God continue to bless you. Amen. We want to tell our neighbors and our friends every Saturday at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Lights podcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. God bless you and good night.